Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Pornography. You know, the mere mention of the word ought to raise a red flag in the mind and in the hearts of every Christian. No child of God should ever even consider partaking of such a dangerously wicked form of entertainment. And yet, despite the clear warnings of the Scriptures against pornography, too many Christians have allowed themselves to get ensnared by it. We find in Hebrews chapter 12, the statement is made in verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And friends, the reason that we become ensnared is due to the fact of the great deception of pornography. You know, though it may seem that Christians are above such filth and perversion, we still must be aware and must beware lest we fall. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that stated in verse 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." My question is, do we even know what pornography is? You know, many get entangled with pornography because of the faulty definition of what pornography is. If your concept of pornography is limited to magazines at the back of a shelf in a convenience store or a officially rated X movie that you're setting yourself up for a fall, the fact is pornography comes in a variety of forms, all of which we must be aware. The word pornography comes from a Greek word, pornographia, which literally means the writings about or drawings of harlots. It's akin to the New Testament Greek word porneia, where we get our word fornication. The American Heritage Dictionary defines pornography as, quote, "sexually explicit pictures, writings, or other material whose primary purpose is to cause sexual arousal." It is then the other material that's stated in that definition that we should be particularly aware of, understanding that pornographic influences can come at us from many, many different sources, and some that we may not even expect. Remember, the goal of pornography is to cause sexual arousal. Well, by that very definition, we can more easily recognize pornography for what it is, and we can be on guard for the various forms that pornography takes. Wikipedia, which is the free encyclopedia online, gives this description, and I quote, "Pornography may use any of a variety of media, written and spoken text, photos, sculpture, drawings, moving images, including animation, and sounds such as heavy breathing. Pornographic films combine moving images, spoken erotic text, and or other erotic sounds, while magazines often combine photos and written text. Novels and short stories provide written text, sometimes with illustrations. In addition to media, a living performance may also be called pornographic. Notably, all of the above may be found on the Internet. End of quote. So see, friends, by this description, it ought to be plain to see that the influence of pornography is much, much bigger than we realize. Now, though society may not label something as pornographic, that doesn't mean that it's not. What the world may call art, or music, or romantic novels, or maybe and even a word from our sponsor, you know, like commercials, and entertainment, may be, in fact, pornographic. Pornography doesn't always involve nudity. You know, one of the greatest deceptions of the pornography industry is the misconception that for something to be pornographic, there must be complete nudity. But again, remember the goal of pornography. It's to cause sexual arousal. So the truth is, many who told themselves that they would never partake of pornography, that is, the hardcore involving the nudity, they end up being ensnared anyway because they had believed that lie. In fact, pornography addicts who have searched out and sought counseling, they readily admit that it began first by viewing people in immodest clothing, which over time increased their appetite for more and more. Indeed, the progression of lust and sin will go from bad to worse when we use that kind of reasoning. Notice with me what James says in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. These two verses describe for us the progression of sin. It starts with our desire. With our desire, then there are those things that entice those desires. When we act upon those desires, that is, when our desires have conceived, it gives birth to sin. That's the progression of sin. So we deceive ourselves if we think that we're not partaking of pornography when we view such things as, take for instance, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, or the Victoria's Secret models, catalogs, and the TV shows that dress actors like prostitutes or gigolos. Friends, if God was not pleased with Adam and Eve's attempt to cover themselves with fig leaves, which we know that's what they did in Genesis chapter 3, if we were to read verses 6 and 7, and then see what God formed in for them to wear in verse 21. So if we could see that God wasn't pleased with Adam and Eve's attempt to cover themselves with those fig leaves, what makes us think that we can purposefully view such immodesty and be right with God? It's over in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2, that we read verse 9. It says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Another thing about the deception of pornography that many people don't realize is that pornography is addictive. In fact, this is quoting from Richard Drake, who is an assistant professor at Brigham Young University College of Nursing. And I quote, "Pornography consumption can be as mood-altering and as addictive as narcotics," end of quote. So, like alcohol, like alcohol and nicotine and heroin and gambling and on and on and on, pornography can also be added to that list. That pornography can become an addiction that will take over your life, and it will destroy you over time. In fact, in the United States, 10% of adults are addicted to online pornography. When you take 10%, that adds up to over 40 million people, 40 million regular users. Friends, that's more addicts than alcoholics. We need to be aware that even a little pornography, now and then, as the expression is sometimes stated, can easily become the first step toward becoming an addict. Sinful activity can become an addiction, and viewing pornography is no exception to that. What we need to do as Christians is to remember John 8 and verse 34, when Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And the statement that Peter makes in 2 Peter chapter 2, let's read verses 18 and 19. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage." Another thing about the deception of pornography is that pornography wrongly teaches that all sex is acceptable. You know, the viewing of pornography will, over time, retrain our way of thinking. And that is that sex with anyone, married or not, is acceptable. Pornographics paint the picture of fun and excitement and yet leave out the temporal nature and the consequences of that behavior. Pornography will effectively desensitize our resistance against extramarital affairs, thereby tempting us to become unfaithful to our mates. You know, sadly, online pornography now plays a major role in the cause of many divorces today, involved in fact in 2/3 of all divorces. It's no accident that Jesus warned against committing adultery in the heart, in the same context of the problems of divorce when he preached his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 27 to 32. Friends, pornography is not harmless fun. The statement of Proverbs 6 and verse 27, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" See, the biggest deception of pornography is that it's a harmless activity for those that view it, and yet it is in reality it costs a person's soul. Pornography is a form of lasciviousness, lewdness, or sensuality, an unrestrained, shameless public display of sexual acts. To willfully look at what makes our hearts morally unclean, and we offend God and we lose our fellowship with Him. Surely, ultimately, those that continue to partake of pornography will be denied entrance into the kingdom of heaven itself. In Galatians 5, verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those that practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Friends, we see your time is gone. We appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.